Let's go.
Okay. All right. Starting here, Bezer Hashem, a new chabura in Hilchot Kashrut. Hilchot Kashrut is a very, very large topic, obviously. There's a lot of different halachos that are related to Kashrut. What we're basically going to do is do over the next couple weeks and a couple months, hopefully, as much as we can get through, but we're going to start with basically the things that are like the most practical for living in the house. So we're going to start with basically the laws of basar v'chalav, which is probably the most practical aspect of kashrus that comes up. Basar v'chalav is, there's a few different parts to basar v'chalav, obviously not having milk and meat together, which we're going to talk about a little more. The part that we're going to start with tonight is the darabon part of it, the rabbinic aspect, which is basically not eating, milk. Not, the timing can't be the same, meaning you have to wait a certain amount of time from one to the other. There's a bunch of other aspects as well. That is includes the location, okay, where you eat. You can't eat at the same table, perhaps. Again, we're not going to get to this tonight. We're just giving you an idea of what's included in this. Just to get your bearings in terms of where this stands within the rest of Hilchos Kashrus, so we'll just throw out a couple concepts that I'm sure we're all familiar with, but the basic idea in the Torah of keeping kosher. Okay, we know the Torah says you're supposed to keep kosher, which means there are certain animals and birds that you're allowed to eat, and certain animals and birds that you're not allowed to eat. Okay, that's not tonight's topic, but we know that that's the general idea of keeping kosher. There are most of the insects we can't eat, with a couple exceptions of a couple of juicy grasshoppers, which, personally, I don't know what they are, but a few locusts, which some people have traditions that some locusts are okay. But in general, that's one aspect of Hilchos Kashrus, which is knowing what's kosher and what's not kosher. The other aspect that we're going to be, as I said, we're going to be focusing on now for the next couple shiurim, is basar v'chalav, which is not having milk and meat together. Okay, so that's a different aspect, which basically is interesting because milk is kosher and meat, if it's shefted properly, is also kosher. But somehow, when you put them together, it's straight. Okay, it's not kosher. So if you ask yourself why that might be, meaning why the Torah say that two perfectly good things when you put them together are not kosher. The answer is not clear. Anybody know what any of the suggestions are why it's not kosher?
Kabbalistic reasons.
Kabbalistic reasons, okay, good. It's straight in the Torah, it's Kabbalistic reasons, okay, good.
They say one gives life, one takes away life.
Okay, so that's one idea. That's probably the best idea that I've heard. That's
mentioned. Tom.
What did you say?
Tom.
Meaning what?
The Tom for the reason. The mitzvah.
Yeah,
the mitzvah.
Right. That's what I'm asking. Right. That's okay. So the reason is not clear. Okay, there's some interesting people. Some people say that it used to be that was like an idolatrous practice that they had in the Avodah Zarah, that they used to have, slaughter and eat, milk and meat together as part of their pagan rituals. So we want to avoid that. That's the Rambam and the Mor Nebuchim. Okay, if you're familiar with the Rambam and the Mor Nebuchim, in the Guide to the Perplexed, he often gives these kinds of reasons which are based on idolatry from a long time ago, which is nice, but doesn't really sort of help us at this stage of history. That doesn't make us feel so fulfilled, but the Torah says so. Okay, some people say it's just it's a chok, meaning it's an absolute law. There's no reason given, and there doesn't have to be a reason given, and that's it. Okay, that's another explanation. And the third one, which is one that I like the best, is based on the Sefer Achinuch, and Rav Hirsch also talks about this, which is basically what Moshe said, which is that there's two different representations here. Okay, milk is what comes from an animal. Let's say we'll take a cow. Okay, when does a cow give milk? When it's still alive, right? So milk symbolizes life because it can only come when the animal's alive. But meat, okay, how do you eat meat? Where do you get meat from? Usually when the animal's dead, right? Basically, it has to be dead. It's not that you have a different problem.
Except for my cannibal is.
Right. There are some interesting questions about come up with. You found milk in a dead animal, is it okay or not? In general, it's a whole interesting shiloh. But in general, the animal's dead, so that's when you eat the meat. So meat symbolizes death, and milk symbolizes life. So the point is that Hashem made the world in such a way that we can't combine like different values together. Okay, life is one thing, death is another thing, and they both have value in the world in different ways, and we have to have both, but they can't come together. Okay, once you put them together, it's a mishmash. And that's what he says also for, when he talks about other mitzvahs, he talks about kalayim. Okay, we talk about having linen and wool together in a garment, so that you can't have. Same idea, you're mixing two things that don't belong together. Okay. When you plow
what's linen? What's the connection between linen and why is
That's a different question. It's a good question. It's not for now. Okay. Not clear what the why those two things can't be mixed together. But there's definitely this idea in the world that they talk about, that Hashem, that there are different forces in the world. And they might be usable or not usable, but certainly when you put them together, it doesn't work. Okay. So that's probably the best reason, if you're looking for a reason for Buster to hold. Okay, fine. Very good. So now, we're going to focus in on now, in terms of Buster Bachala, we're going to focus in on starting with the Durabanans, which basically, in terms of the time from one to the other, that's what we're going to focus on. In terms of the Dorei, so what's the Torah prohibition of eating milk and meat together? So if you just take, a cheeseburger, if you just take a piece of meat, okay, a good, kosher steak, and you have a drink of milk, and you eat them at the same time, have you violated the Dorei Isser Buster Bachala? So the answer is not. You have not, actually. Okay, interesting enough. What do you have to do in order to violate the Doraisa of the Bas B'Challah? Was that?
Put them together.
Yeah, put them together. Very good. Okay, so again, that we'll talk about in a different week.
That's why McDonald's here is the most worst thing to
do. So you're right. So that's actually my next...
Because they're taking black kosher meat with, Chalav Yisrael.
That's great, right? That's a great. Yes, that's actually one of the interesting... We'll talk about that in a different shir. The question is, what Bas B'Challah of Doraisa? But Arthur, you're absolutely right. That's basically, why McDonald's in Israel might be worse than all the other McDonald's, because you basically have, you have kosher milk and kosher meat, and in order to be violated by Bas B'Challah, they have to be kosher. Okay, now there's discussions of what if it's a kosher animal, but it wasn't shechted properly. There are also discussions about this, but the bottom line is that's probably correct. But there's more of a chance of violating Bas B'Challah D'Oraisa with McDonald's in Israel than with McDonald's in America. And America as a whole, or Kuslaritz as a whole, question of what the status is, which we won't get into now. Anyway, so we're going to focus away from the Dorei stuff and focus in on the Durabanan. Okay, the Durabanan is a simpler thing and it's more relevant for the Mishnah. Come, the Mishnah, maybe not.
What's up, Mishnah? Zell? Info chips?
Yeah. And you got me on the stuff. Okay, we can check this out also.
Let's see if you can compete.
Okay.
Ah,
okay.
Having
people can.
Take more things for yourself. You know, if you want them. Not my kids will eat them, I guarantee.
What's the bracha on these? Bracha? Is there a dhamma?
Good question. Those are my dhamma.
Those
look like shahakal, yeah, but I'm not for sure. Okay.
I think the burrito, I would say a
dhamma,
but I think the bag of burritos
is shahakal. It depends which one. I think they're made, they're made differently, so that's hard to know. I think they're usually a dhamma, but you're right. Some of them might be shahakal. I don't know. Anyway, so when it comes to Drabanan, so let's focus in on the time. Okay, so we know we can't have cooked milk and meat together. But we also can't have milk and meat, one after the other. We can't have them together, and you also can't have them one after the other. And that is the rabbinic rule. The rabbis made a safeguard, basically, made a gzeirah, to make sure that you don't come to eat Bas B'Challah D'Oraisa in any form. So they made sure that you can't eat them at the same time. Okay, the question is how much from, what is the time frame from one to the other where you have to wait from eating one until you eat the other. So for this time right now, we'll focus in on starting with the meat and then going to the milk. Okay, if you have a good steak or you have cholent, Shabbos lunch, and you want to have, a dairy meal a couple hours later, so how long do you have to wait? So we know some answers. What are the answers that we usually throw out?
Three, five, six, five hours, zero, 24,
who knows what? Okay. Question is, where does it come from, and where do the different reasons come from? Based on that,
It's made up like everything else.
It's made up like everything else. Okay, let's see. Let's hope you're wrong, but you'll tell me at the end if you're right or wrong. Let's see what the Gemara says about this, and then we'll see where some of the reasons came from, and then we'll see if we can figure out some of the ideas of the hours, the unusual opinions, okay? So let's take a look here. Source number one, okay? We're going to read three out of four lines here in source number one. Okay, this is from the Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara says Gufa. Okay, the Gemara is quoting something that I quoted before. Not really care about that right now, but the word Gufa, but the comment is what we care about. Amar Rav Chista. Rav Chista said, Achal basar, if you ate meat, asur lachol gvina. Now you can't eat cheese afterwards. Gvina mutar lachol basar. If you eat cheese, then you're allowed to eat meat afterwards. So that's not for tonight. Okay, that's going to be a different time. We'll talk about eating dairy first and then eating meat. For now, we see here that if you eat meat, you're not allowed to eat cheese afterwards, okay, or anything dairy. Question is, how long does that last for? So skip the next line and go to the third line. It says, Amar Ufa, Ana Lahamil, so Chala Bar Chamra Lagabe Abba. He says, this is an interesting analogy here. He says, for this matter, he says, I am vinegar, the son of wine, when it comes to my father. Okay, Chala is vinegar in English, in Aramaic, and Chamra is wine. So basically, he's comparing himself. He's the vinegar. and his father is the wine. Okay, which one is better, vinegar or wine?
I'd go for the wine.
Wine, right? I think you're right. Most people would go for the wine. Why was his father better than him? So look at this. He says, "De'ilu Abba, ki hava achal bistra ha'idna, lo hava achal gvina ad l'machar ad hashta." Okay, if he would eat meat right now at 10 o'clock at night, okay, he would not eat any cheese or dairy until tomorrow at the same time. And he would wait until tomorrow, 10 o'clock at night, in order to eat dairy. "De'ilu Abba," he says, "but what about me? Vasudata huzalo achilna." He says, I ate meat now. I ate meat as part of my meal. All right, I won't eat meat. I won't eat dairy as part of my meal now. Okay, I'm going to bench. I'm not going to eat meat right now. Dairy right now. But the next meal that I have, I'll eat dairy. Okay, I mean, I'm not going to wait 24 hours like my father. I'm going to wait till the next meal. Okay, one meal meat, next meal dairy. Very nice. Now, if your Talmudic brain is, if your Gemara cup is thinking here, so what question, if you're still awake now, it's not too late at night, what do you wonder about this statement? What's, like, not clear about this when he says, this meal I would eat meat, and the next meal I would eat dairy? You try to...
Well, his meal's not going to be right away.
Yeah, okay.
And number one. Number two, also, as a parent, my son's going to say this, I'm not real happy, okay?
Okay, good. Is that because he's eating too close together?
Well, I'm
because
saying he's going against his father. Or? His father obviously wants, you know. So I think the question is, like, he switched the quote. He said that it's a matter of when the next meal is.
Okay, so that's really the question that they talk about here. What does that mean, the next meal? Does the next meal mean if I choose to have a meal an hour later, or 2 hours later, I'm a growing boy, I'm a teenager, my kids, or whatever, you know, they get hungry, okay? I'm getting snacks, they need something, okay? Forget a meal, even just a snack. People get hungry. So does it depend on when the meal is?
In general,
is it the idea of the meal itself, or is the idea of the, what's the other side? Not the meal itself, what would be the other possibility? Not a snack, in terms of how you would understand what it means to say between one suda and the next. It doesn't necessarily mean when you actually have the meal.
It's a amount of time.
But it's a matter, exactly right, it would be the amount of time. I mean, maybe what the Gemara means.
In times then, I think they used to have two sudas in a day.
Oh,
and they didn't have
okay.
snacks like we did.
Right, so that's the other possibility, okay? Which is maybe it means time. Okay, that's the Gemara. So from the Gemara itself, and you may already know the answer, but we'll see, it's not so clear. But that's the question of the Gemara. Does it mean you have to wait a certain amount of time from one meal to the next, and the amount of time is however much you usually wait between one meal and the next? Or does it mean, okay, it doesn't mean that you wait however long you wait to the next meal, whenever you're ready to eat the next meal, as long as it's not part of your meal, even if it's only an hour or 2 hours later, you enter, hey, go eat your dairy. And go have your cheese latkes or your, pizza. Okay. No problem. So the answer is that it's a machlokas. Okay? It's a machlokas. Who says what? So take a look here. Sources 3 and 4. Okay. We're not going to cover this whole topic tonight. We're just going to do a little part of it. Look at Tosfot in source number... Actually, let's start with the Rambam in source number 4.
Okay. Skipping 2 and 3?
Two we're going to skip to later. 4 we'll do now, and 3 we'll come back to in a minute. Okay, look at the Rambam in source number 4. So the Rambam says, okay, Mi sha'achal basar batzchila, if somebody eats meat first, bein basar behema, bein basar meat. Okay, whether it's animal meat, cow meat, or whether it's chicken, or turkey. Lo yochal achar av chalav ad shi'a benen, k'dei shir suda achar. The Gimel doesn't belong. The Gimel is just like a reference to one of the commentaries. So he basically says that you can't eat dairy afterwards until you have the amount of time until you eat another meal. Okay, meaning not the actual eating of the meal, but the k'dei shi'ur suda achar means the amount of time before you eat the next meal. And he tells you how much that is. How long is that? He tells you. V'hu kamo sheishot. Sheishot, we know what that means, right? 6 hours. Here you go. Here's 6 hours. Okay. The reason why, again, we didn't really get into so much, but he gives you a specific reason why. It's not just about that we were going to come to eat them together. He says, "Neha basar shal bein ashinayim she'inu sar b'kinuach." What the Rambam is worried about is that maybe you're going to get some pieces of meat stuck in your teeth, and then basically within 6 hours, it's still considered to be like live meat. And then essentially,
what does that
mean?
Sar b'kinuach. Does that literally mean
that the meat which is in between your teeth is not meant to be taken away with wiping your mouth out? Let's say you use a napkin. Was it?
That it won't deteriorate, it won't disintegrate.
They didn't floss back then.
Yeah, basically.
Right, so it would take 6 hours.
They actually might have, believe it or not, they might have used like toothpaste or something like that to floss.
But if it sounds like after 6 hours, it'll be disintegrate.
Yeah, after 6 hours, it's helped. Apparently, according to the Rambam, it seems like it's not halakhically significant anymore. No. But kiruach doesn't mean to floss. Kiruach actually means to wipe.
What?
Right, to wash out your mouth. To wash out your mouth and to wipe it out. So when you wipe out your mouth, if there's pieces of meat stuck in between your teeth, okay, strings of meat or whatever, so then it wouldn't go away. So we're afraid that if you have dairy during the first 6 hours afterwards, then you're going to mix the dairy with the meat in your mouth. And if it's still hot or if the dairy is hot or whatever, so you may end up eating basically basar v'chalav doris. Okay? But the Rambam gives us a time. Okay, that's what we're focused on now. He gives us a time of 6 hours. What 6 hours? Well, the Rambam, apparently 6 hours is the amount of time between one meal and the next. Okay? You guys, from our experience today, does that make sense to us or not so much? No? You say no.
No, we say our kids have breakfast at 7 o'clock before school.
Okay.
And they have Aruch HaEsser.
2 hours later.
And right. Then they come home at 2 o'clock.
Right. 4 hours.
Kids have 5
hours.
Okay.
What about an adult?
Six. No, that is.
What about an adult?
Okay, yeah, what about an adult?
An adult has 8 o'clock breakfast and 7 o'clock breakfast.
Universal.
Yeah, it's universal. I think it's real. Just eat our Rukh HaNesser.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Right? The real is really not us. Okay. But even if you have, let's say, lunch at 12 or 1, let's say, what time do you usually have dinner? 6 or 7 or 8?
One's usually less than 7. One's more than.
Right. But exactly. I think in general, for adults, I think it makes sense. I think the 6 hour time still works today, more or less. Again, it's not exact, and it depends on which meal you're talking about, but if you have 6 hours, definitely, I think, still more or less operative. I think it makes sense. That's what the Rambam says, 6 hours. Now, we know, of course, is one of the main
Moshe shows.
What is it? Right, so we'll get back to that later. Okay, he says Kemoshe shows. It's like 6 hours. The question is, how big a deal are you going to make about that when he said it's like 6 hours? Did he say it's like 6 hours because he meant it doesn't have to be exact? Did he mean it because he didn't really know how to make it exact? Again, they didn't have these nice digital watches back then, or even they didn't have clocks on the wall. Okay, how did they tell their time back then?
Shows money. I mean,
how did they tell their time?
Sundial.
Sundial, basically, right.
But they had shells on that.
Yeah, they had sundial, but a sundial. Or a sundial is not really exact.
No?
What? Yeah, but, I don't know. What do I know?
Okay.
I'm going to do some history here.
Every measurement in the Gemara, whatever, that's always, like an egg or an olive, it's always relative.
Right.
There could be all kinds of whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think he's saying about 6 hours.
Right. So about 6 hours. Okay, so then you can start asking yourself, well, what happens if you have 5 hours and 55 minutes? And you have 5.5 hours.
I think you're okay with the Rama, get 5 hours.
You have a question. Okay, so that's the question. We're supposed to talk about that. We didn't get to that yet. The other possibility.
Well, the Rama's calling something Shaot. So he's saying that we have an exact measurement called Shaot.
Right.
Called Shaot means that exact.
Yeah, no, I think they had hours, okay? I mean, it might be Shaot. I don't think this means Shaot's money here. Even though sometimes you're right, it means Shaot's money, or it means like the halakhic hours. I think here it doesn't mean that. But the question is, how do they tell the time of the hours? And that, could be that it wasn't so exact.
Yeah.
And he's telling you, it's around 6 hours because you can't tell exact time. Okay? Maybe. Which, if that's how you understand it, then the question would be, today, when you can tell exact time, do you have to tell the exact time today or not? That's a question. Okay. Anyway, so that's what the Rambam says. The other opinion is source number 3. Go back to Tosfot. The Tosfot in the Gemara there says something else. He says, the other apostle said before. Look what he says. It was Sudata Achrita Achrona. He says, La b'sudata shiragilu masot achat shachar d'achat arbi. He says, this doesn't mean, the Gemara is not telling you that the amount of time between the meal that you would make in those days, they would have one meal in the morning, one meal at night. Okay, so that's not what I'm telling you. It doesn't mean that. Alter means immediately. Okay, even if it's right afterwards. Imsire kashulchan uberach mutar dvopil rabban. Okay? If you just took away the table, in those days they had like little trays or little tables or whatever. If you just took away your table, or today let's say you benched, to set your crowd of Muslim, and you got walked up and cleared your table off. Okay? And then you came back and wanted to eat more, the Tosafot says that's permissible. Okay, even if the second meal is dairy. Why? Because the Chacham didn't make any distinctions. Once they said, as long as you start a new meal, then you're fine, and it doesn't matter how long after the old meal, the first meal, the second meal is. He said, this is Tosafot saying it's a very big kiddush here. Maybe it's not a big kiddush, but in our mind, it might be a big kiddush. The same is, you don't have to wait 6 hours, you don't have to wait 3 hours, you don't have to even wait 1 hour. All you have to do is finish your meal, say your bracha achrona, clear off your table, come back 5 minutes later, eat again, and you're fine, you can eat dairy. Okay? He sold you.
Be gone.
All right.
She's done.
Now you're not allowed to leave. Okay, actually, now you're a big
trouble. Learned a lot tonight. Okay.
Okay, that's right. We'll do another 15 minutes before we come back. Okay. So the question is, what's the halacha here? I mean, how do we paskin? How do we paskin? And the answer is that we think we sort of know how we paskin, but it's actually still a bit of machlokas here. So let's take a look and see if we can figure out what the bottom line is here. Okay, so source number five, look at the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, the Shulchan Aruch is pretty clear. Let's see what he says. Achal basar, if you eat meat, afilu shel chayav ha'oaf, even if it's of a wild animal, like a deer, or you eat chicken, lo yochal gvina acharav, you can't eat cheese afterwards, or other dairy, it goes with the cheese is just an example. Ad sheyishe sheshos. Okay, until you wait, how long? 6 hours. So, the Shulchan Aruch of Karo, who did he follow? Rambam or Tosfos? He followed Rambam. Okay, 6 hours. And by the way, notice also what he left out, interestingly enough. He left out the kamo. Why did he leave out the kamo? It was because he knew how to tell time, and he said, right, it has to be exact. I'm not sure. I don't know. But the question is, today, we'll come back to this in a couple of minutes, halachically, what do you make of this? Meaning, if you want to ask me about waiting 5 hours and 45 minutes, or 5 hours and 50 minutes, or 5.5 hours, you know, is there room to say that you're allowed to do that? This is a big question. If you ask for the Rambam, the answer could be yes. According to the Shulchan Aruch, not so clear. Okay, we'll come back to that in a few minutes. But that's, again, an important point to know here. You pass like the Rambam, 6 hours. Okay? And then he says, Vafilim Shah Kashir, even if you waited 6 hours, if you still have meat in between your teeth, you gotta get rid of the meat. Okay? Which again, we're not gonna get into now. It's another interesting question which we talked about before. The Rambam. The Rambam seems to say that after 6 hours you don't have to look at the meat between your teeth. But the Shulchan Aruch seems to say that even after 6 hours, if you still have meat between your teeth, it's still a problem. So there, the Shulchan Aruch may have had a different understanding.
I disagree. I don't think it necessarily goes against the Rambam.
Okay.
Because he's saying you have to clear which mukul. That's the time. The 6 hours was the time to get the, you know.
Right.
I think the Rambam also held you have to clean out your eating after 6 hours.
Okay, so you're saying that. That's a question. I think most people understand it the other way.
I usually don't.
That's fine. Yeah, that's fine. You could argue.
You don't agree with people that argue.
That's fine.
You.
No, I have no problem with that. I have no problem with being going against everything I say. I have no problem.
Okay, no problem.
You just got to read the words. That's the only problem. You have to read the words. Okay. So he says here in the Shulchan Aruch that if you wait the amount of time, if you still have meat in your teeth afterwards, then you have to get rid of it. The Rambam is the one who says that the reason why you wait 6 hours is because of the meat in between your teeth. The question, what did the Rambam mean by that? Did he mean that after 6 hours it's not a problem, or did he mean it's assumed that by 6 hours you're going to clean out your teeth and you're going to brush your teeth?
I think that's what he
meant. You say the second thing. Okay, fine. So I would have said the first thing, but that's fine. I'm happy to have other opinions here. Anyway, so we're going to keep that aside for now. Okay? I don't think we're going to get into that tonight. That's also another interesting muscle that we talked about. Anyway, let's keep reading. Okay. Skip the next line of Shulchan Aruch.
You have the same piece of meat stuck in your teeth for 6 hours, you want to get rid of it anyway.
That could be, right? So,
unless you're hungry later on.
Or your wife wants to get rid of it. Even if
exactly.
It's like finding a piece in your beard or something.
Right.
It's always good for skin.
Okay. End of the third line. He says, V'yesh Omer. Okay, this is now the Ramah talking. Okay, the Ramah is speaking there. What does he say? He says you don't have to wait 6 hours. Now we're talking, right? Because Ramah is the Ashkenaz person. Okay, and he's saying that you don't have to wait 6 hours. Rak miyad im silek uver brikas amazon. Okay, immediately if you left the table and you said your brikas amazon, as long as you wash out your mouth and wash your hands, then you're allowed to eat your dairy right away. Who does that sound like he's following? Ramah here. Sounds like this opinion that he's quoting the Yesh Omer is Tosos. Right? So, Ashkenaz, maybe that means we could follow this. And look what he says here, interestingly enough. Do you have a comment, Daniel?
No, I did.
Okay, let's keep the next line. Okay, so then he says, the next line, skip all the parentheses there where he quotes all the sources. And he says, V'aminak ha-pashut b'mdinot eid. He says, what's the clear custom in these areas? Okay, now the Ramah's talking about where he lived, in Poland and maybe Germany, or whatever, maybe not Germany, but at least in Poland, in Krakow where he lived. The custom at the time was, Lahamtu achar achilat ha-basar sha'achat. To wait 1 hour, and not immediately, not 6 hours, but 1 hour. And then you can eat dairy. Meaning he says, however, trich levarach gam kin birkat ha-mazon achar ha-basar, you have to bench afterwards. He says you can wait 1 hour and then say brick and a mother and you're finished. Okay? Very interesting. Okay. But then, okay, so don't get an idea here. So according to that, you might say that the Ashkenazim should say that 1 hour is good enough, okay? See what the Ramah did here. The Ramah took 1 hour. The custom of the 1 hour, it's not really what Tosfot said, right? Tosfot said you can eat right away as long as you bench and you. So where did the 1 hour come from? What could happen there with the 1 hour? Before we get to the conclusion here. You see?
Like,
what do you mean?
Okay,
right. So I think that's what the Mepharshim says. It's not so clear, but it seems like probably what he's saying is that if you let somebody eat right away, it's easier, you know.
Maybe they won't wash their mouth, they won't brush their teeth.
Right, right. Or they might come to, they might not, you know, they might not sit back on a mother at the table. Right. It's a good, it's wait an hour just to make sure that you cover your bases, okay? That's what a lot of the postmen say, that the Rama said an hour, and he didn't just say you could do it right away. So the Rama says you could do an hour, the question is why do we all wait more than an hour? Maybe we don't. But if we have more than that, why do we have more than that? It's the last line here is important. The eighth didaktikin, lahamtin sheisho acharachi lebasar lefina. Because with some people are careful, this is still Ramah talking here. Some people, meaning even Ashkenazim, that follow the Ramah, the custom that he says, some people are careful to wait 6 hours after eating meat. The chen nachon lasso. He says that's appropriate to do. But even the Ramah, who says that the real halacha is like Tosfot, and even if you follow the custom, which is more machmir, the custom is to wait 1 hour, the better thing to do and the right thing to do is to wait 6 hours. Okay, that's what some people are doing. He says that's the better thing to do. So, and you look at source number 6 here, the Shach, which is one of the big commentaries on Yordea, on the Shulchan Aruch in Kashrut areas. He says, V'chein achum asa, V'chein chatev marashal, the marashal, the Shlomo Luria says, V'chein roi laso, V'chol mi sheyesh bo reach Torah. Anybody who has like a smell of Torah in him, like anybody who's like, you know, it all connects to Torah, basically. Anybody who's all connected to Torah.
Basically says, you should wait 6 hours.
Smell some reach Torah.
What'd you say?
I smell some reach Torah.
Very good. So if you associate yourself with reach Torah, smell of Torah, then he says you wait 6 hours. If you clearly are not associated with the smell of Torah, okay, you don't smell like Torah. You want to be, you know.
Sorry, I think it's coming from there.
Anyway, no, we have some also. Anyway, so he says you should wait 6 hours. So the mindset is when it comes to the Ashkenazi custom. So if you ask me, so I would say that the best thing to do is to wait 6 hours, okay? And that's the prevalent custom today, is to wait 6 hours. So the Rama says the best thing to do is wait 6 hours, the Shach says to wait 6 hours. I would say the best thing to do is to wait 6 hours, okay? However, all right, what's the however? There are some people out there that don't wait 6 hours, okay? Have you ever come across anybody that doesn't wait 6 hours? Never. Yeah. There are some people out there, okay?
Yes.
Okay. What other customs have you seen? Have you seen anybody that waited 1 hour?
How about 3 hours?
Okay, hold on. We'll get to that in a second. Let's start with 1 hour. Does anybody wait 1 hour that you know about? Was it?
Dutch people.
So there's, for some reason, the Dutch people continued the custom of their own law of waiting 1 hour. I don't know why that's for them and not other people from like France or from Belgium, or I have no idea. But somehow it seems like there is a Dutch minhag out there that they kept this Ramah and wait 1 hour. So that's one area. If you are Dutch and you have the custom from your family tradition to wait 1 hour, so then, you know, there, even though the Ramah says it's better with 6 hours, you're on solid halachic footing and you can say that you're allowed to wait 1 hour. Okay. If you're a female and you get married, so it's another discussion. It could be that it's better to take on your husband's custom, maybe. But we'll get back to that maybe next week. The question is, there's a good custom out there of 3 hours. Okay, who's the 3 hour custom?
The Yekis.
Okay, so from Germany, there are some postkin that seem to say that there is a custom from German Jews to wait 3 hours. Where else do you find a custom of a lot of people from one area that wait 3 hours? You know where they come from? You should know this.
What?
You should know that where else there's a big custom of people to wait 3 hours, not just from Germany.
Elizabeth, New Jersey?
Mm-hmm. I think
someone
like 1 hour.
Actually,
okay, no, a little closer to home. The other part of your home. Not your home. You say? I didn't mean that. But your spouse's home, for your spouse, where she comes from.
London.
A lot of people in England have the custom of waiting 3 hours. And where did it come from? I haven't the faintest idea. It came from Germany, but I'm not sure exactly how. I mean, at some point, some English Jews came from Germany. But it's unclear exactly where that came from. So here's my question. Okay, the question is, we have clearly 6 hours. There is a custom of 1 hour. Okay, where in the world do these people come from that came 3 hours? It seems to kind of come out of nowhere. And the question is, if it came out of nowhere, is it halakhah legitimate? Or do you have to say they shouldn't keep 3 hours, they should keep 6 hours? So what do you say?
I would say that they could do whatever they want based on
okay. Even though the Ramah himself says it's better to keep 6 hours.
Correct, but he says yes,
okay. So he doesn't do anything. Okay. So that's a possibility. The question is, though, you know, if you're doing three, it's neither here nor there. I mean, which opinion are they following? So basically, you're going to say it's a big, tremendous, gigantic chumrah off the 1 hour opinion. Okay. Meaning it's not, it's 1 hour, but it's expanded to 3 hours.
When did it start?
What?
And when did it start? When did it, when
I have no idea. I mean,
well, you can make an argument that Who knows what they were doing? Who knows what kind of...
Somebody must have had a good host.
Lots of what?
And whoever was, I thank them for it.
Right.
Maybe then I finished in the middle of chakras.
Okay.
Went back to Mosav. Then had a shear afterwards and then went to lunch. Who knows what they were doing.
Okay, cool. So that actually might be part of the answer.
What, meaning the sutras were short?
Meaning you don't know what they were doing at any given time. They said 3 hours.
Okay, so hold on. We're going to come back to that in a second.
I didn't skip ahead.
It's fine. No. I know that you have a little bit of... You're smart also. Cheated. It's fine. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to finish with this for tonight. Just get this 3 hours thing out of the way. So just so you're aware, there are some... There actually are some sources that do mention 3 hours. I didn't put it here, but Rabbeinu Yerucham, the one of the Rishonim already, he actually lives in Germany, so he mentioned 3 hours. I think
who the guy,
Rabbeinu Yerucham, he's one of the Rishonim.
Here?
It's not on the source.
Space.
He just says something about 3 hours. He doesn't explain it. Okay. So the Chai Adam also, the Chai Adam of Danzig, he also says that that there are some people out there that wait 3 hours. He doesn't explain it. They don't explain anything. So we're supposed to start trying to explain.
We also, even the 1 hour, you didn't really...
What's
also, the 1 hour, we didn't have any...
Yeah, but we have a source for it.
We have a source for it, and we understand what it's based on. 3 hours seems to have come out of nowhere. I mean, it doesn't
why
make sense.
It,
so.
Why is it...
Well, why does it matter?
Anyway? Why is 1 hour better? Because...
So that's the question. If you want to say that 3 hours is really relying on the 1 hour opinion, you can say that. Okay. The question is, whether, does that make sense?
And the other option is whether they had more sudas in a day, and 3 hours is the
most. That's right. So that's what more of the posts say, I think. Took a look here. Okay, took a look here. It's source number 8. Okay, I quoted it from Ravadia said, yeah, be an honor. So he quotes this idea from a sefer called the Mizmor LeDavid. Okay, Rav David Pardo, who lived, I think, in the 1600s, maybe, if I remember correctly. I think he was a Talmud of the Maharal or something like that. He was like Italian, interesting person. So he has this idea, in addition to the Pre-Chash, another one, Dechron, here, that also mentioned this a little bit. Let's see what he says. We don't need Zira Isi Lagon Maravina David Pardo, the sefer Mizmor LeDavid. Shaking me a mashup about Pre-Chash, the Pre-Chash says, the low button of Dacha Sheshas. He says it doesn't have to be Dacha 6 hours. Okay. This is what Shadil said, sort of. Okay, in the winter time, which we just started winter now, right? Can you tell? Look outside here. Go outside. It's 80 degrees out there today, or whatever it was. It's quite winter around here. Okay? But, right, that's thanks. The main point he's getting out of here, it actually might be true, that Shayam Tsarim, the days are short. Okay? Kol Shachal Basar B'Shachar, anybody who ate meat in the morning, Mutar Lechol Gavina B'Tsarayim, is allowed to eat dairy in the afternoon. V'cheina Ochol Basar B'Chatzi Hayom, so we didn't meet in the middle of the day for lunch at 12 or 1. Mutar Lechol Gavina B'Rav, he can eat dairy at dinner time. Aval Gav, the Lecha El Arba showed the Kilu Ben Achir Lachir, even though there's only 4 hours in between. Okay, one meal and the next. And that's agreed to by everybody. Okay? What's Chavi? What's he talking about?
Dude, I got two problems. First of all, who's eating meat in the morning? Good for him.
Good question. I can't tell you what was happening in Europe in the 1600s.
I guess we really could keep warm or something. Number one. Number two, where's 4 hours coming from?
Right. Good. Okay, good. I have to think, by the way, some of the shawarma places in Yerushalayim are actually open at like 10 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, why would they open at 10 o'clock in the morning? And there's some evenings that people inside. Right. No, they're just going
to
go inside at 10 o'clock.
It's hard to find. Now, look.
Yeah. Right.
Leftover chow at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Shabbos morning, maybe. Anyway, so where's this coming from? Okay, so what's going on? So I think this is basically what you said before. Okay? I think what happened is as follows. Okay, in the wintertime, back in the day, 500 years ago, okay, it seems like the meal times were closer together in the wintertime. Why would that be? What's the shot here? It's not a whole shot. This is just a reality shot. Okay? Back in the day, the only mission that we have today, these nice big bulbs on top of us. Okay, they didn't have electricity. So it seems like it's likely that they probably ate their meal, let's say their dinner meal, even their lunch meal also. I would say it was early.
When it was light, when the sun was out.
Oh, it was light. I'm sorry. Yeah, it was light. L-I-G-H-T. Right. Right. Correct. Sorry. Probably they ate their meal when it was still light outside, which means basically if they're having, let's say, 3 meals a day, even 2 meals a day, their meal schedule got closer, a little closer together. Let's say they have lunch at 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock, and it gets dark in Europe, in the northern parts of Europe. It gets dark pretty fast. Okay? Look at the time. Sunset is earlier than here. Okay? Shkia could be like 4 o'clock, 4:15. All right, so they're eating their dinner meal, like 3:45 or whatever, 3:30. That's basically 4 hours in between one meal and the next. Okay, and England also, the woman in England also gets dark pretty early. So if your whole meal schedule gets changed around because you want to eat when it's still light outside, and whether the Gemara says it's better to eat when you can actually see what you're eating, because if it's dark, you don't see what you're putting in your mouth. The Gemara says it's not as tasty. I've never tried it, but try it sometime and see if it's true. Have like a meal in dark. We had this
place like that.
What?
I'm trying to think what's here. I heard about a restaurant that it's served by the waiters are blind.
So interesting.
It's a Yafo.
Really?
It's blind people.
Oh, you're talking about the blind museum?
Or no, what you call it. No, no. It's a restaurant where the waiters are blind and everything is dark.
So interesting.
Yeah.
Are you sure it's not part of the blind museum? I've heard about this place.
It might be, I don't know.
It's a separate part. One's a television, one's a film.
So interesting. Anyway, so that's part of the you know, the interesting thing here. That's true. We had a blackout last year in the Avenue Mid one Friday night. They were actually a blackout like through Friday night. So we actually ate in the dark that night. It was interesting. We got a little sense of what this means. You know, but it didn't, you know. Anyway, so that's just like what he's saying here, that eat the standard meals is, you know, being suda with suda is not just, you know, you still follow the opinion of it's the standard difference of time between meals, but that time of year, it's only 3 hours between meals. So then he says, maybe for meat and dairy also, you can follow the same opinion, and you can wait only 3 or 4 hours. That works well in the wintertime. In Europe, you know, 500 years ago. What about today or in the summertime?
He doesn't say 3 or 4 hours.
He says 4, yeah, he says 4. Keep reading. Okay. The next line in Rav Avadia, the fourth line now, right in the middle. The Kotav al Zeh Marina of Dar Pardo. And in some places they have the custom that even in the summertime they only wait after meat. Ela shalosha. He throws in 3 hours here. Since in the wintertime it's permissible, so whatever we do with the meat in between your teeth, or let's say there's a taste of meat in your mouth, which Rashi talks about, whatever the reason is, he says that it must be that 3 hours is good enough. So if it's good enough in the wintertime, it's good enough in the summertime. Okay, low plugar bone, he says, no difference between the two times. There's no problem with the taste in your mouth or whatever it is in the summertime either. He says there's a little bit of that to rely on. Okay, a little bit to rely on.
What are the reasons why you can't have no?
So yes, we saw before. We saw one reason: it's around them, the pieces of meat stuck in between your teeth. The
other reason, so that doesn't change based on the winter and the summer.
Look back at Rashi, right? So that's a good question. So maybe they would say that it's not really 6 hours; even 3 hours. After 3 hours, it's already not significant anymore. The other thing that they do say,
that's against the Rambam.
You say?
Okay.
Maybe I think they work more with Rashi. Rashi, we go back to source number 2 for a second. Rashi says that the reason is a little different. Rashi's idea is we should devasam mutzi shuman, remove the fat and marif tamo. That somehow the meat causes like certain kinds of fatty juices to come into your mouth, and they get stuck to your mouth and they stay there for a while. I don't know exactly what that means. So I don't know exactly what that means. Whatever it means, there's some sort of taste left in your mouth from the meat, or there's juices going from the meat. Whatever it is, what they say here is that maybe, according to those opinions, we say that stuff that stays there for 6 hours. They would say it stays there for 3 hours. So it stays there for 3 hours. Maybe after 3 hours, the taste is gone, and that's it. Okay? So to conclude on this point, Rav Avadia says there's a little bit of room to rely on the three-hour opinion. Okay? But as we said before, the German-speaking community, the German communities, and the English community is also pretty, you know, widespread custom to wait 3 hours. So halacha, most postmen say that if your family has a custom to wait 3 hours, then you can continue to rely on a 3 hour opinion. If they don't, though, then you probably should not be going to 3 hours. You probably should be giving 6.
Very strange. Then suda suda makes it sound like pashup shot is each meal. What we're separate between meals as a gzera. And that's right. How they decided that gzera is going to be two meals. You have a meat meal, then you wait until you have your dairy meal.
Right.
The reasons they give, based on,
right,
makes it sound like you can't say it changed between the winter and the summer for neither of the reasons. So either why
that's what Ravadi is saying, that maybe it doesn't change. Even though in the winter time they waited 3 hours because they needed to have those amounts of time in between meals, but he's saying that shows you that even in the summertime, the reason doesn't apply anymore. So maybe.
But I said, but the change.
Saying that the.
The reasons given for why you have to do the suda is that either your meat is stuck or the taste.
Right.
It doesn't really fit in. Because based on that, there's a set amount of time that it's either in your taste or in your teeth for. 6 hours, it's 5 hours, it's 2 hours. It's not been suda suda. And if there's an assumption that suda, there usually was 5-6 hours. So that's great. So then it's always 5-6 hours. So
you're right. Your question, the reason why the 3 hour opinion is not such a strong opinion. Okay, that's the reason why it's not. It may not be the best thing to rely on the chakiva if you don't have that family custom already. But
even more than that, I'm just bothered a little bit by Rashi and the reasons given behind suda suda.
Like,
they don't really have a reason why.
Right.
Why didn't they just say
it? Tosafot probably doesn't agree with that. Tosafot says you can eat the next meal, it could be 5 minutes later.
Exactly.
How is it possible he would have understood the pieces of meat in your mouth? It seems like Tosafot didn't agree with that. It seems like Tosafot understood that the Chazal were just making a difference.
Right, so I'm saying, he's doing a differentiation, so he's doing a difference, and we said, fine, an hour maybe.
Right.
But then if you're not going to go with that, then you're going to say it's going to be 6 hours because that's the normal amount of sugar than sugar.
Okay. Anyway, so we'll leave that point for now. Sarachim, you're right. Your question is a good question. It's not so clear. You have to sort of come up with a way to explain why they say it's okay. I guess you'll have to say that that it was like a correlation, but that wasn't really, you know, the reason didn't exactly fit the way that they were manbir, you know, the amount of time. You have to figure out something. It's not so clear. You're right. And that's why it's not, you know, the 3 hour opinion is not as strong as
into the 6 hour.
Okay, hold on. Before we do that, maybe we'll do that next week also. But if you look at source number 10 here, you can read it yourself. Basically, I always wondered why in England, you know, there was this idea that they also kept 3 hours. I didn't understand that. Then I found that there actually was maybe a possible reason why, which is that in England, they had this idea of tea time, okay? Afternoon tea was, as you see here, between 4 and 6. So it could be, you know, if they were eating lunch at 12 or 1, and then having their tea at 4, so that already, they're also, they suited the suit on a regular basis in England, was always 3 or 4 hours, okay? So it could be that for England also, that was how this came to be, that they always kept 3 hours. I'm not sure. I don't know about this, but it was my, you know, that was my suggestion. If you look at what they ate here in the second paragraph, they had tea with milk, okay? And then they had some other things here also.
Yeah, they have milk in the tea.
Ham.
They have milk in the tea.
That, what?
A good English tea has milk in the tea.
That's what I'm saying. Right. So the thing is, if it was...
The Germans do that also.
So maybe that's the connection also. Maybe that's why the Germans also. It could be that that's the connection. I don't know. But that, again, it makes sense. Then if that is the point, then obviously if they're eating dairy for their meal 3 hours later, then that's exactly what's happening. There's meat at 12 or 1 o'clock for their main meal of the day was lunch, probably, was with meat, like we do here in Israel. I mean, not us, but maybe some people. And their dairy meal was 3 hours later. So then that makes sense why they kept 3 hours, according to the logic that we were discussing before, which, again, is a little bit shaky, but there seems to be a line. Okay. So we'll do it next week, okay? The question of the 5 hours and the 5.5 hours and the 5 hours and 45 minutes.
Sure, don't want to finish off now.
What's that? We just do it now? Fine. Okay. All right. Fine. So that question is based on what we're seeing here. What is the story with the 5.5 hours, the 5 hours and 45 minutes, 6 hours and
into
that?
The sixth, I wait 5 hours and 1 hour.
So there's one more thing here that I don't think is on the source sheet. Did I put it here? No, it is here. Where is it? If you look at source number 9. Okay. So Ravaya talks about this also. Okay. So he says, in the first line, when we look at this Tathina, if I wasn't scared, Havamina, I would have said, Shin chasar yishay shal pachot nechati shah, mutter af l'gdol. Okay. If there was less than half an hour to the end of the 6 hours, meaning 5.5 hours plus, okay? If I wasn't scared, I would say that it's mutter even for older, even for adults to wait that amount of time. Why? Should I cross off around commercial shows? Because the Rambam says around 6 hours. So approximately 6 hours means more than 5.5 hours. This should be fine. And then he quotes other Rishon, the Orchos Chaim and the Kolbo. Okay? With his modern Rishon, he says in earlier times, Lo Haya Moresh Shal. Let's say they didn't have exact clocks. They had sundials or whatever. For sure they used like approximations because they didn't have an exact time. So if they could use approximations like the Rambam says, then why can't we? We know that, you know, within a half an hour it's considered to be, you know, close enough to halachically be counted. As you know from other Gemaras, which we're not going to get into now, he says basically based on that, it seems like they should be able to be naked. Okay, let's skip a couple lines here. He quotes also three lines from the end. Okay, he quotes the Meiri. Okay, the Meiri also says, Maseva Magen Avos, Kasav Chamei Shos Oseishos. He actually says 5 or 6 hours, straight out. Okay? So it seems like there's what to rely on for the 5 hours. But then Ravida says, the second to last line, Umil Vamasa Yishlachmir, Vamasa Yishri Machmir. Okay? Ukumash Kasav Rabbeinu Yeruchim, one of the Rishonim, Zivayin Shiashel Chola Pachos Sheishos, enjoy at least 6 hours. Okay? And that's what I said before, also, the Shulchan Aruch himself. The Shulchan Aruch says 6 hours. He doesn't say around 6 hours, he says 6 hours. So whatever the reason why he said it and what the exact time and not exact time, if you're making diyukim from the Shulchan Aruch, it seems like the proper diyukim from the Shulchan Aruch to make would be that it should be 6 hours. Especially today, since we do have exact time today, so why shouldn't we keep the exact time? That would seem to be the way to go. Rabbi Forst in his Kashrus book, the purple Kashrus book from Rabbi Forst, the Artscroll book, so he also says very strongly, he feels that you really need to keep 6 hours. Based on this, and because the Shulchan Aruch says 6 hours, and because then we have the way to make exact time, so then that is that should be preferred. If you ask me, that would be my preference, unless you have a family custom to wait less than that, okay? Or if you're from England or from Germany, which anyway maybe you would wait 3 hours, but you decided to be machmir with 6 hours, then maybe room to wait less than that.
Only if you
however, hold on, I'm not done yet though. There are some posts that disagree. The Rav Avadi himself says at the last line, "Miu amikol b'zeh b'shas ad chak yishlam mi'le smoch." B'shas ad chak, if you're stuck, you could be makel. I found in the Tzur Mirabban booklet, so they have a bunch of other
poskim.
The Tzur Mirabban, we didn't have a chance to even talk about this, so maybe we'll talk about it next time. This is the series of the halacha shiurim that they put out, basically. It's like a weekly shiur, which the sources for all the different halachic topics that are in the Shulchan Aruch, you know, with sources or whatever. If you want to talk about doing this booklet, it's very good. Just that we have to buy it. You can look at it afterwards if you want. You can think about it. So he has a few poskim. He quotes Rav Yashiv, actually. Rav Yashiv actually felt that the deal from the Rambam is a good deal. And he says, halacha l'maaseh, that you can wait at least 5.5 hours. Okay. Rav Yashiv himself says that somewhere over here. The Sefer HaKashar also. He says here, Mikra Din Daivan Tanach Chamisho Dimashu. He says, Mikra Din, you can wait not even 5.5 hours. You can even wait 5 hours and a little bit more because of the Meir uses 5 or 6 hours and the Rambam is around 6 hours. He says that if it's going to cause a lot of difficulty, so then you can also wait. You can wait into the 6 hour.
Is there anything?
Yes. Was it? Rav Aaron Cutler is also quoted somewhere. Right? Rav Aaron Cutler also said that you can wait into the 6th hour. You don't have to wait more than that.
Have you found anything in modern day science about this, that the meat, the residue?
It's not so clear. It's really not so clear.
It's such a weird thing.
It's not so clear. It's one thing if you said the taste is still in your mouth. That would I don't understand. But it sounds like what they're saying is that there's something that when the meat gets swallowed and digested...
To me, the sudeity makes the most amount of sense.
Right.
The sudeity makes the most amount of sense.
I always thought unfortunately, it was the digestion.
Right, so that they don't... There's one opinion that talks about digestion, but most of the Rishonim don't mention it. Okay,
it's about Shinayim. It's about Shinayim more. About stuck in...
You're saying that the digestion of meat takes a couple hours, which is true. But most of the Rishonim don't mention that as being...
Well, I guess if that was the case, then you wouldn't know milk then meat.
Also true. Depending on what you're digesting, meaning after the meat, it's longer than just the meat.
That's true.
Yeah. Anyway, so if you ask me personally, I'm in favor of 6 full hours if you're able to do it. But for your kids, even if you're machmir like 6 hours, for your kids, if they can't wait that long, so then you could talk about waiting less than 6 hours. And again, if you have a family custom to wait less than that, there's room to make you to wait more than 5.5 hours, maybe even 5 hours. There's what to talk about here, based on what we just said. I'll finish up also that. About that, let me see here. Rav Mordechai Yehuda, sorry, Rav Mordechai was very against that. Okay, he felt they have to wait a full 6 hours.
Where's Sfirut Parshas here?
Who's he?
Where's Sfirut?
Yeah,
he didn't tell you. He wants that meeting. He got stuck in Jerusalem. He asked me to fill him in. I said, "Why don't you send it on a voice note?" But I told him I just
okay.
This was perfect.
Okay, so one more point I forgot to mention before also. Generally, when you get married, when somebody gets married, so the spouse usually the wife usually follows the husband when it comes to these things. So what that would normally mean in this case is if the wife waits 3 hours and then she gets married and the husband waits 6 hours, she should wait 6 hours. When Shmuel's on Orbach here, came with a chiddush, but she says that after she gets married, she should wait a little before she starts taking on the 6 hour custom. Because maybe it's going to be too hard for her, she's going to mess up, it's going to cause a lot of problems. So he says, l'chachila, that women that get married and they wait 3 hours or 1 hour, they should wait until their kids get a little older before they start taking on the 6 hour custom. Yeah. That's a big chiddush. If you ask me, that's hard to swallow. It's hard to swallow, but just
why?
Why
is it hard to swallow?
Because what are you doing? I mean, you do it or don't do it?
No,
because
you're saying. Yeah.
After your kids are grown already, or at least or whatever.
She gets slow, slowly but surely.
How many years to get accustomed to that?
He shows an amazing side of his Benadu Mechavero.
Yeah, it's interesting. What he says is, since they're in the kitchen, usually in the kitchen anyway, and they're the ones that are feeding the kids, he says, Krovot Lavo de Michshol, there's a good chance they're going to mess up. If they wait 6 hours, they're going to mess up and by accident, they're going to forget and think that they wait 3 hours, because they always wait 3 hours, and they're just going to accidentally start eating food on their own.
Cold turkey.
He says, Tov Shlo Tidor Mishtilo Shalim, it's an expression from Kohelis. The Gemara talks about it's better to not make a vow at all than to make a vow and try to and not keep it. He says if you know that she's going to mess up anyway, it's better to not start waiting 6 hours until she needs to start waiting to get a little older. Then you have to be uniform in the house. You can't have.
But he's saying she should at some point later on.
Yeah, correct. She should, but not until we get to 8 or 9, whatever. And if you ask me, I think it's doable. I have more faith in our wives than maybe he does. I don't know. I would say L'chadchila should probably try to start at the beginning.
Has anyone done it? Has anyone gone from
it's 3 hours? It's rare that I tell my wife what to do, so I'm trying to figure out how it works.
I know plenty of people have done it.
I'm saying
that. Good for you. It's hard. Yeah. It's hard to do, but it's totally doable. It's not. It's doable. You just gotta put your mind to it. It's not. The last one I was going to mention is the yeshiva. So some yeshivas, they have their dinner meal. They have, let's say, meat for lunch at 1 o'clock, and they have their dinner meal at like 7. But they didn't finish their meat meal until 1:30. So can you make a yeshiva if you can't wait 6 hours because the yeshiva schedule is going to get messed up? Can you make on that ground? So here he says, Rosh Lozalman, on that point, he's very much. He says, absolutely not. But I heard of Nevinzal, actually, in the old city. I heard of Nevinzal.
Because you're in yeshiva, so what are you doing the meal?
Exactly, right. Reb Nevinzal apparently says you can make it. He says if it's going to mess up the whole yeshiva schedule, Reb Nevinzal apparently felt that you couldn't make it.
The yeshiva fixed that.
Excuse me? It is. Morning Seder goes until 1 o'clock, and then by the time you finish lunch, it's 1:30. And if they have dinner too late, then the night Seder is going to start too late, so they're stuck. And because they follow the Israeli schedule, they have meat in the afternoon and, you know, dinner for dinner, so, you know. Anyway, so he was Mako. Personally, I would recommend people to be Machmir, but if the yeshiva one is going to is being Mako, so then, you know, I think you can...
Your first year, you better say some cool over here. I don't know if they're going to come back. You know?
I said all the cool, I just didn't say I agree with all of them, but it's fine. So yeah, cool. You're going to have to listen to me. So you can, you know, the post that I quoted were very big names. If you want to have one little short thought on the parsha, so I don't know, you could come up with something.